Reading over in the book of Hosea, you got your Bibles, you can read with me. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sister, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulterers from between her breast, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine all and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forget me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valleys of Achor, for a door of hope. For she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shall call me no more Bela. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant with them, with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her upon me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took the to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for the people, thy people, are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredom hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Here in the fourth chapter of the book of Hosea, the sixth verse, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. You know, a lot of people in religion, they are willing to jump, run, play, shout. They are willing to do almost anything and call it religion. They do almost everything that is imaginable. They have ball games. They have volleyball and basketball and football. And they have parties and they have programs and they have pool tables and they have suppers and they sell and they buy and they exchange and they visit. And they do all kind of evil, ungodly things that displeases the Lord. You know, ball games doesn't belong in the church. Neither does ball teams belong to the people of God. Things that are of the world should be left with the world. Men like Oral Roberts, great and mighty men of God, has stumbled and fell flat upon their face because of dabbling in things like ball games and having ball teams. Humbart. Great leaders like Fowell, Jerry Fowell, and great men have fell flat upon their face. Though they have millions of dollars, and though they're doing great things so far as the world is concerned, great churches like the Church of God and the Baptist and the Methodist have fell flat upon their face. Denominationalism in general and great evangelists in general have fallen flat upon their face, all because they tried to mix the world with godliness. And they've got God all upset over it, when they should have left the world out yonder with the world. They should have left worldly things alone and left worldly things to the world. Because worldly things does not belong to God, and God does not belong to worldly things. God does not mix darkness with light. And He warns us that we cannot mix darkness with light. And He said, woe unto that man that calls darkness light and light darkness. And when you start taking the things of the world, like frolics and ball games and social affairs, and you start mixing them with godliness, then you are calling darkness light. And God said, woe unto that man. You're calling light darkness when you say that God's word and God's people belong to the things of the world. So then these men have fallen flat on their face. Though they have raised millions upon millions of dollars, and they have attracted millions and millions of people, yet all that they have done is made proselytes out of these people. The Bible teaches twofold more the child of hell than they was to start with. Now, I have learned in my life that I cannot mix and mingle with the world. I can't do it. You say, Brother Pike, all of these great men, they're just great scholars and they understand. And they've learned that they can do these things. No, that isn't it at all. All of these men have gone into error. They have dabbled with the world, trying to get money to carry on their program. And in doing it, they have compromised with so many things until they've seared their conscience with a hot iron, and they've got past feeling, and they override the word of God and the voice of God, and they go on their way continuing to do these things that displease God. The Bible says also that when men are fed to the full, that they neigh after their neighbor's wife like an old horse. He said, will I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? He said, you played the harlot under every green tree. He told Israel, said, you played the harlot. You've had your suppers and you've had your programs and you've had your great to-dos. He said, but to me, it's all harlotry. Did you know that when the church took a ball game into their affairs, they became a harlot? Did you know that every move in the earth today that is religious, that has accepted a ball team and a ball game as being part of their operation, they are a harlot. They have committed whoredom, and God has risen up against them. And God is contrary to them. I know the world out yonder will fight me, and they'll fight any minister. Some of you will do the same thing. Some of you that are sitting here listening, in your mind you fight, Brother Pike, I have to fight against you to preach this kind of gospel. Because you're of the devil, and you're of the world, and you love the world. And your mind is a mind of accusation and fault finding, because you belong to the flesh, and you belong to the devil. You're of your father, the devil, and Jesus said His will you're going to do. Your old devilish mind is going to do that irregardless. And those people that are out in the world, they're going to fight it. The Bible said they love their own. The world loves their own. They love these religious bodies that mix and mingle with darkness, because these religious bodies, it gives them a consolation. The people are attempting to set a light before the dead. Jesus said them people that do those things in sports out there are twice dead and plucked up by the root. And He said they are dead while they live.
And he said, woe unto that man that sets a light by the dead. In the Old Testament, God warned him. He said, you cannot set a light by the dead. And when a person is dead in trespasses and sin, and you take the word of God to them and you tell them that they're all right and that they're going to be all right, you're setting a light by the dead, and God will get you for that. Now, the world hates me. Jesus said, the world hates me. And because it hates me, it'll hate you also, because you're not of the world. If you was of the world, he said the world would love you. All of the world out there is against me, because I speak the words of truth. But Jesus said here in this prophecy, he said there is no truth in the land. There is no truth in the land. Why? Because people want prestige. They want businesses. They want to be somebody. They want to be lifted up. They want somebody to see them in their monetary side of life. They want to be something intellectual. They want to be something brilliant. They want to have talents. And they want to be a great celebrity. The world loveth its own. But brother, let me tell you, all of that is repulsive in the sight of God. There is but one thing that God sees, and that's the blood of his son Jesus. He sees the blood of his son Jesus. I have the greatest kind of respect for men like Oral Roberts. I think they're some of the greatest men in the world. They've done some of the greatest things. Jim Baker, Pat Robinson, and Humbart, and many of the others. But they are in error, and they have gone contrary to God. And though they may have millions of dollars, God has rejected them because they have rejected the knowledge of God. God said, Saul, I have rejected thee because thou hast rejected my word. It doesn't matter what a man is. His ability, his strength, his money, his prestige, God rejects him when he does not conform to the word of God. When your spirit refuses to conform to the word of God, God rejects you. You may look in the mirror and think you got a handsome face. You may think you're a pretty woman. You may feel that you're just that so-so for God. God doesn't even notice you. You don't even register as a speck in the universe in the sight of God. But brother, when you get the blood of Jesus, you don't have to have a talent. You don't have to be able to sing. You don't have to be able to play an instrument. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to have anything. You just love Jesus and let God see the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. And I'll guarantee you that God will love you, and God will shake the stars out of heaven before he'll let you go like him. You are the apple of his eye. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you when I see the blood. A brother just fell and took a hard fall because he thought he was handsome. He thought he was the latest man. He thought he really knew how to do it. And he thought he could do all of these things better than anybody else. But you know what happened to him? He fell flat on his face because he would not listen. And today he is a reproach and about to have a nervous breakdown. When we take the outlook that we can mix darkness with light, and when we cut the corners to compromise, and we get our mind on dollars and on money, on prestige and convenience, then we are in trouble with God. When we get stubborn and we get haughty and we get rebellious and we get vainly puffed up by our fleshly mind, we are in trouble with God. When we get to thinking that we are something, then we are in trouble with God. Because I can assure you that you are nothing. The Bible said all flesh is as grass, it withereth away. And all of your glory and your talents and your money and your prestige and your ability, God says it's as nothing. He said the flower like the glory of man just fadeth away. All of your being is nothing but corruption. And you are repulsive in the sight of God. And he said, if you don't get out of that old evil, ungodly image of yours, if you don't do away with that man that came from the first birth, or that woman that come from the first birth, he said, in the morning when the blood is moved away, I will despise your image. Because you are in the image of the beast. You're in the image of the adulterous one. He said, you played the whore everywhere. He said, and you've gone after your lovers. You've gone after the thing you want to do. And a whoring after your thoughts. And a whoring after your feelings. And a whoring after your passions and your desires. And God said, you have played the harlot. He said, and I don't want anything to do with you. Now then, when we look at this, realizing that when we reject the knowledge of God, that God rejects us. If we reject the knowledge of God, then God immediately rejects us. Saul, thou hast rejected the knowledge of God. You have rejected the word of God. I didn't tell you to do what you're doing. There's no place where I told you to incorporate a ball game in my work. I never told you to go out there and have a racetrack and have people deck out in shorts and jump hurdles. I never told you to go out there and mix with the world and have a bebop show and a rock and roll party. I never told you to go with the celebrities and get out there and lock arms with them so that they would give you an extra $1 million. I never told you to do that in my word. And Saul, because thou hast rejected my word, I have rejected thee. And so it is, God has rejected those men. You say, but Brother Pike, those men are doing great things. God has rejected those men. You can follow them all you want to. You can give millions of dollars to them. But God has rejected them. And not just the men that I spoke of, but many multiplied evangelists that are on the field that's doing the same thing. God has rejected them. You say, but look at this great act of faith. There has been no great act of faith. There has been a great act of money. Billy Graham termed it right when he spoke to the man with the empire in Tulsa, Oklahoma. When the man said, Billy, you've outfaithed me. He said, Oral, you've outmoneyed me. That's what it is. It's money. Money answereth to all things. Money has been their downfall. Now, what those men need to do is fall on their face before God and beg God for His forgiveness and trust that God will give them a chance. You can sell your birthright for a morsel of bread, and then you can cry bitter tears of repentance and find no place of repentance. So then, it's like a lot of people that's here at Bethlehem. A lot of people that's here at Bethlehem has sold their birthright. They've sold it because of stubbornness, because of corruption, because of rebellion, because of coming against the minister and coming against the gospel and coming against what we're trying to do for the Lord Jesus Christ here at Bethlehem. They sold their birthright. And some of them are beginning to see God bless Bethlehem. And they're trying to get in and trying to turn around and make apologies and do all kind of things. But God isn't going to listen to that. He gave you a chance and you rejected it. And because you rejected it, God rejected you. There are some that did not know, and there's some that did not understand. And there's some that made mistakes unwillingly, not rebellious. And they're turning around and they're repenting and they're asking God to have mercy on them. And they're saying, God, let me be a part of it. God, help me. And God is forgiving them. And God is reinstating them. And God is blessing them. But as it was with Joseph, when Joseph interpreted the dream of the baker, and when Joseph interpreted the dream of the butler, it's the same thing today. Many of them are like the baker. God is going to lift them up all right. He's going to lift them up to take their heads off of their shoulders and let the buzzards, the spiritual buzzards, devour them. He's going to lift them up to turn them over to a reprobate mind. He's going to magnify them like an Elvis Presley so all of the vultures and the buzzards can come and eat until they eat him up with lust, until he is rotten and put into an early grave. God is going to magnify some of you and lift some of you up and put you out there with the world so that the world can devour you and do away with you. God's going to magnify you because you're repulsive in his sight. God is going to help others like the butler. He's going to lift them up and bless them and restore them. But the baker, he hang upon a tree. There are people at Bethlehem that does not care anything about God, nor doing anything for God, and they're not going to do anything for God. It might be once in a great while that they pray, or once in a great while that they read their Bible, or once in a great while they might take a little time off for God, or to help the brethren, or to give a dollar to carry the load. But it's just going to be in and out and up and down all the time. But there are some people, not just here at Bethlehem, but around the world, that is going to give to God with a regularity. They're going to give of their substance to God with a regularity. They're going to pray with a regularity. They're going to study their Bible with a regularity. They're going to go to church with a regularity. And they're going to be actively engaged in world evangelism with a regularity. Because they love Jesus, they've got the nature of Jesus, and they can't do anything else. There's nothing else they can do. The love of God constrains them. They cannot do anything else. Whether it's hard times or whether it's good times, they're going on with God. Others are going to be turned over to a reprobate mind, to believe a lie, and to be damned. We've had people that come here to Bethlehem that could have been great people for God, but because they were self-willed, because they were selfish, because they were stubborn, because they thought they could just push it this way and shove it this way and say it that way, and Bethlehem would follow them and do it. They got it in their minds and they went off and wrecked up, and God has shook them over the flames of hell to let them know that he doesn't bow down to anybody. Nobody shoves God and shoves God's work. You don't come to God and say, I'm here, do such and such. You come to God and say, God, have mercy on me, I'm a wretch. Would you please do this for me, Jesus? And you humble your stubborn will and your stubborn way. You don't walk up to God and I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. God doesn't work like that. And it's for sure that Bethlehem don't function like that. You come to Bethlehem, you come in a humble spirit. You come with the love of God. You come putting out your hand and saying, help me. And God will put out his nail-riven hand and take yours. And God will help you. And God will put you on your way and bless you. You come with that old stubborn attitude, and God will bruise your head like the serpent that you are. And he'll throw you in a ditch somewhere and let you rot. These great men, and I say great men because the Bible said not many mighty are called. Great and mighty men, doctors and lawyers and dentists, great men, scientists, millionaires. Why is it God doesn't call them to salvation? Because the Bible tells us that they have their consolation, even their riches. They're not going to share with the poor and with the hungry. They'll die old and decrepit and be thrown into the grave before they'll ever share a dollar. If they give anything, they'll give it to some society that's worthless. Let me tell you something, folks. God don't play games. Those people have their consolation. They have what they want. They're great and mighty men. There's a few of them that God has called because they humble their hearts. There's a few of them that God has called because they've considered the calls of Jesus. But not many mighty are called, and not many great ones are called. They love the world and the ways of the world. They like that thing about God and eternal life. But you tell them about holiness. Tell them that they've got to forsake their devilish ways and get away from their evil programs. And they've got to leave off with their ball games and all of the worldly affairs. And tell them that if the love of the world is in them, the love of God is not there. You know what they do? They say, he's beside himself. He needs to see a psychiatrist. Now what it is, the psychiatrist is beside himself and he needs to see a preacher. That's where the thing is. The world is beside themselves. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, it's just because of your intellectual reasoning and the way you've got things programmed to think that I'm beside myself. He said, if I'm beside myself, it's for the Lord. Now, the world isn't going to love you, beloved friend. The world stoned Stephens to death. The world crucified Jesus. The world threw Daniel into a lion's den and the Hebrew children into a fiery furnace. The world has always persecuted God's people. The bond child that's born to the flesh, born of the world, educated in the world, that depends upon the world system, that's part of the system of the world. The bond child has always persecuted the free child. Celebrities, they're not celebrities. God's people are celebrities. We are the prince of the earth. We are the God of all eternity, not just of the world. For God will take the world out of Lucifer's hand. For the earth doesn't belong to Lucifer. Lucifer is a devil. Nothing that God has created belongs to him. Your members, your body, your understanding, your mind, that is that which God ordained for you to have. It doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to Lucifer. When you think the evil, adulterous thoughts that you think, and you stoop down into the places that you stoop into, that's because you fellowship the devil. God didn't give you that kind of mind. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you go around always afraid that you've got cancer, always afraid that you've got some terrible disease, always afraid that some great calamity is going to befall you somewhere. If you go around always afraid that you can't keep what you purchase, that they're going to take it away from you, that is the spirit of the devil. And you're giving place to the spirit of the devil. You say, how should I believe, Brother Pike? You should believe like this. God said he would supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. God said that he hath given me all things that pertain unto life. God said, I will make thee rich, and I will add no sorrow unto thee. God said, all of these things shall fall around you, but shall not come nigh your dwelling. This is the way that we should think. This is the way that we should believe. You're never going to get faith out of those abased thoughts. And what's wrong with the church today? Why was it that Samson shook himself and he couldn't do anything? Why was it that he was bound in the dungeon, making brick for Pharaoh, as we say, concerning Israel? Why was it that Samson had got down there and had no strength and was bound with the chains of circumstances, as we would say, going around in a circle, around and around and around, like a dog running after his tail? Why is it that the church world today is in that kind of condition and they're from one chicken pot to another chicken supper? Why is it that they're from one social benefit to another social benefit? They're like a dog running after his tail, going around in a circle, in a wilderness wandering of their intellectual reasoning. Why is it that they have done that? They've played around with Delilah. That's why they've done it. They wanted the world. Like the Bible said here, I'll go after my lovers. My lovers, they give me a new automobile. My lovers, I can have a nice new home. I can have all of the convenience of home because my lovers will give it to me. I will go after my lovers. My lovers have all the beautiful clothing, all the beautiful dresses and the beautiful suits and the beautiful earrings and the gold and the silver and the sparkle and the dazzle. I'll go after my lovers. I can be a great celebrity. I can be a football player. I can be a great star. I can be a great singer. I can be a senator. I can be some great leader. I'll go after my lovers. And God said when she went after her lovers, He said, all right, if that's the way it is, the days of grace is finished. If that's the way that you feel, He said, you won't have any more of my wine. I'll turn the fields into a desert. I'll withhold the rains of heaven. And I won't give you of my substance anymore. And of my flax, of my wools, I won't give you of my gold and of my silver. Then see what your lovers can do for you. See what your lovers can do for you when I withhold my blessings. And that day you'll turn around and say, it was better with me when I was back with Jesus. Talk, talk, talk about Jesus. It was better for me when I talked about Jesus and when I had Jesus as my husband. The world doesn't love you. The world loves its own. To take sports. Sports is one of the most damnable things that ever came into the world. It's worse than TV. Sports is one of the most powerful, evil, wretched tools that the devil has ever used. And he has deceived more people with it than any instrument that he's ever brought forth. Even some of the people at Bethlehem slip around to get a report on the sports to see who won the game and to sit around and watch that evil filth on TV or to read about it in the newspapers, wanting to know about it. Sports, the evil tool of Lucifer, drawing millions upon millions of people into the dark, deep pit of darkness, into the intellectual mind of their own human desire. Sports, the dark hole. The devil is covering the world with darkness and with evil. Folks, we don't need ball games in the church. Let the world have their ball games. The ball games belong to Esau. If they want to have ball games, that's all right. Because it's the land of Esau. If they want to murder and if they want to kill, that's all right. That's the land of Esau. But in the land of Jacob, in the fields of Emmanuel, in the things of God, there is no place for Lucifer and his sports. No place. Whether it's volleyball or basketball or football, or whether it's baseball or whatever, there is no place in the church for sports. These men that are encouraging these things, these churches that are encouraging these things, why are they doing that? Because the love of the world is in their heart. Why is it that Oral Roberts has the ball games he has? And he's one of the key people that's led this thing into the church. Why is that? Why is he like that? Because that's what he was. He was a basketball player before he came to God. Why did A.A. Allen turn to all the dancing and jumping and hollering that people did that was not in the Spirit? Because he was a dancer before he came into religion. Why was it that Peter went fishing when God said, go preach the gospel? Because he was a fisherman when God called him. What we need to do is turn away from the old nature. We need to turn away from the things of God. We need to forget about that which was back yonder. The Bible said any man having put his hands to the plow, looking back into Egypt, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. He tells us to forget those things that are behind. Somebody would say, well, I'll forgive it, but I can't forget it. Well, you might as well just stop altogether. If you can't forget it, then you're not going to get any forgiveness from God. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind, forgive those things and forget those things. When God forgave you, He forgot. The Bible said He put it into the sea of forgetfulness to never be remembered against you again. You are to forget those things back there. God doesn't even like for those thoughts to come to your mind. You marry a wife and she's been a frolicker. You forgive her. You do like the prophet here. You forgive her of all of her filthy, dirty past. All of that you put behind you. But you trust a God that she'll never let her mind go back there with the garbage and the filth and the one she used to run with. Because if she does, she's a whore and one of the worst kind. The same way with a man. We are supposed to be godly people, holy people, pure, upright people. And the past is to be forgotten, is to be cut off. We're not to go back there. If we turn back to that, God said you're not fit for His kingdom. If you put your hands to the plow and in the eyes of your understanding you keep looking back there, you're not fit for His kingdom. Get thee out of the land of thy kindred. Not just your relatives. That was relatives in the Old Testament. But get thee out of the land of thy kindred, which means that you are akin to the flesh. Get away from the world. Get away from the flesh. You're not in the flesh anymore. You're not to go back into Egypt. You're not to fellowship them people. For you're not in the flesh anymore. You are a quickening spirit. You're born to the Spirit. You belong to the Spirit family. Get away from the flesh. Get out of the land of thy kindred. But you know what? If you're born to that old devilish mind and that old corruptible flesh, you're not going to leave them people. I don't care where you go and what you do. There's always a little string attached to them people and the frolic of your past. And you know what you're going to do? In the day of the judgment, when you stand before God, you're going to be condemned because of your past and turned into hell, because the Bible said that we serve God with the mind. And your mind is in the world. And your thoughts are in the past. And your thoughts upon that. It's upon that that you fellowship when you was out there in that corruptible way of life. If a man thinks in the past, he is filthy. If a woman thinks in the past, she is filthy. If a woman and a man cannot take their minds from the time of their born again experience and move their mind into the future and into the hope of God and into the things of God, they are filthy and they are carnally minded. Looking back. Always looking back. You know what Oral Roberts is doing? He's looking back. You know what Humbard is doing? He's looking back. You know what PTL, Jim Baker, and Pat Robinson are doing? They're looking back. They're not looking to the future. You know why? Because they don't see any future. A man that's doing the things that they're doing, there is no future for them. They see no future. That's why they hold to what they've got. And that's why they keep looking back. But brother, we've got a future. We've got a future with God. We've got a future with Christ. We've got a future that is eternal, and we need to keep looking straight ahead. When Moses stopped over there at the Red Sea, God said, "What are you doing standing here, Moses?" And God, to keep Moses from looking back, put a dark cloud behind him, between him and the Egyptians, so that they couldn't see the Egyptians. He said, "Moses, don't be standing around here. Go forward," he said. And Moses went forward. And when he got the Egyptians out there in the Red Sea, he said, "You won't see these folks no more. You won't be able to look back in the past anymore at these people." And the Bible said that he took the wheels from the chariot and he drowned them in the Red Sea. Anytime you look back beyond the blood of Calvary, then you are defiled. And if you look back to accuse beyond the blood of Calvary, you are in trouble with God. Because there is no past to a Christian. I have no past. I have no past. All that I have is future. There is no yesterday with God. God doesn't have a yesterday. And God doesn't have a tomorrow. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. God doesn't have a yesterday. I don't have a yesterday. When the Lord blotted out my sins and killed the old man of sin at Calvary, He blotted out my past. I was born again into a new world. And I am a new creature in Christ. And the Bible said, behold, all things have become new, and all things have passed away. And I don't have any past. All I have is this great, wonderful world of today. I've been born again into the world of today. And all of that that was a yesterday, that was a nightmare and a dream, has been taken away. And I cannot see that because I am born again and that fellow is dead and gone. That ended that past. That ended all that had to do with him. That ended my fleshly family. That done away with my relatives. That done away with the land of my kindred. And today I belong to God. And as the song says, I am born to the family of God. You have played the harlot. How have you played the harlot? By incorporating the things of the world into religious activities. By bringing the world into the house of God. And the preachers and the priests love gifts. And they've taken your money because you gave them money, and they've compromised the word of God. And there is no truth in the land. It's full of bloody crime. Full of bloody crime. Full of bloody crime. Bloodthirsty beast. Even Monroe, in the last little bit, like the man the other day, walked up and took a shotgun and about blowed the man's head slap off of his body. Killed him on the spot. A young soldier that come home from service, going from his home, his mother's house, to the store to try to get something for her to eat. I understand. That's what they told me. Somebody knocked him in the head and killed him on the way to the store. And for days, they could not find out where he was. And when they found him, he was almost decayed. The land is full of bloody crime. Make a chain in the land. You link with me and I'll link with you and let them link with us. And let's reach around the globe in a prayer chain and in the love of God. And let's have a brother in Africa. And let's have a brother in India. And let's have a brother in Israel. And let's make a chain. Because the land is full of bloody crime. So then, because no truth is in the land, sin abounds. Ball games, football, the world hates me because I preach like this. But the world hated Jesus before they hated me. They don't love me because I'm not of the world. If I was of sports is of the world. I would be of the world, I'd have the love of the world, and everything would be just fine because I'd be part of the world. But I'm not part of the world. I don't belong to the world. I belong to Jesus. I don't want any sports in my life. I don't want any sports in my religious activity. That's the world. If I'm going to be out in the world, then I'll go to the sports. I'll go to the ball games. When they have a ball game, if I'm going to be an Esau, then I'll go to it. Let them enjoy what they're doing because that's all they'll ever get. God gave that to them. Let them enjoy it. A buzzard can't have nothing but an old dead dog or an old dead cat. They've got to have something dead and rotten because they are a buzzard. And they were made to do that. And that's all they know. That's all they understand. To them, that's a luscious thing. Their appetites are sharp toward that. They love the stench of that thing. But I can't stand it. I'm not a buzzard. We're eagles. We're doves. We're clean people. I don't want to go out there and feed off of the things that they're feeding off of. To them, a ball game is something that's great and mighty. To me, a ball game stinks. It's filth in the sight of God. It's that old fleshly, barstous side of the devil, of Lucifer, that loves to beat and bang and kick and knock around and holler and scream and roll around in the mud. I don't want that. And I'll tell you something else too. All of these great ball players are supposed to be getting religion, and these movie stars are supposed to be getting religion. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe they got something? They sure have. They've got their eyes open that there is a God and that they're going to the judgment and that they need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. But are they coming to God? No. Are they coming to religion? Yes. Why is that happening? Why? You say, Brother Pike, that they're not coming to God. Not many mighty are called. A few of them are truthfully repenting and coming to God. But you'll see those few, as they're sifted right on down from that charismatic way of life, they'll come right on down to genuine godliness and genuine holiness, and they'll go right on with Jesus. But see, the religious world, they want to envelop. They want to reach around. They want to hug. They want to pull in the people of the world. They want to get the ball game because that brings the crowd. They want to get the millionaires because that brings the support. They want to get the celebrities of the authorities because that keeps the authorities off of their back. They're not cast into jail like the early church was and beat and banged and abused. Therefore, they want their favor. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to take them people and he's going to make a slaughter pen for them. Now you watch what I'm telling you. God's people isn't going to go through it. God's people is going through it right now while they mistreat God's people. And God has allowed that religious in-between out there, which is Satan's world. He has allowed that thing to be religious out there to keep them off of the back of God's people till God can get his people out of here. Because of their religious practices, they have to have natural conformity. And because of their religious practices, they have to pass laws or get the favor of the law toward their religious endeavors. And God's got it out there as a shield to make them do those things that the people of God might have a little bit of liberty according to the law so that they won't be crushed until God can get them out of here. But brother, when God gets his people out of here, he's going to turn them people into a slaughter pen. Antichrist is going to feed off of them people like the buzzards feeding off of a dead dog. So I don't believe it. Watch and see. All of those sports arenas, all of those things that they love to do of getting out there and watching their sons and daughters break their neck in those ball games. God's going to turn that into something just like they did in the early days when they turned the lions loose in there, when they break the bones of the people. When the gladiators come in there and beat each other's brains out. God's going to make them so bloodthirsty and so hungry that football won't never satisfy them. Did you know that already I understand there's a great drop in baseball? That people are losing interest in baseball and they're turning to football? Why? Because in baseball they don't break each other's neck enough. They don't bust each other's brains out enough. See, that devil is getting more bloodthirsty, more hungry. Baseball don't thrill them enough. They want to see somebody beat each other's brains out. Set around a wrestling match and holler, bust his brains out, beat his brains out, break his neck. Somebody said, well, they don't mean it. You better believe they mean it. They mean every word of it. They don't care about your neck being broken. They're concerned about their neck. They don't care if your tummy goes empty. They're worried about their tummy. They don't care if you don't have the money to pay your light bill. They'll cut it off anyway. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, try it and see. They don't care if you got little babies and that little baby can't get nothing to eat. That don't make any difference with them. Just recently, some people in the area had problems with their light bill. And they told the people over here, said, but we've got little ones and we've got to have heat. They said, that's your problem. They cut the lights off. You think the people that sells the gas for you to put in your furnaces, that they care about you? I've seen the time at Bethlehem when some of them down here would have froze to death. And I contacted the gas people and they wouldn't bring them nothing. They wouldn't even bother to come out between trips. And them with little children. The world doesn't care for you. The world loves its own. If you've got the money and you've got the dollar, you can get the care. If you haven't, then you're mud to them and that's all. I don't like the world. I don't like the people in the world. I love God and I love God's people. And I'm with Christ when he said, I will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. That's why David raised his sword against everybody that wasn't with the Israelites. Everyone that opposed that kingdom. If there's anybody in the world that loves Jesus and anybody in the world that wants to go with Jesus and anybody in the world that wants to stand for God, I'm for them people. If not, I'm against every one of them. They're my enemies. You can tell them I said so. I am against them. They are my enemies. God will pursue them till they perish from over the face of the earth. Every day they breathe, every day they live, they spread corruptions and they cause murder and they cause homes to be broken up and they cause poison to go into the hearts and minds of the people. I am against them, saith the Lord. And Brother Pike's against them too. That's why Gideon said, the sword of Gideon and of the Lord, the sword that I'm carrying, set here to bring vengeance and judgment upon them that do evil. Cursed is you, Brother Pike, if you don't put that sword in their blood. When I raise that sword, that's the sword of Brother Pike and of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I love you. I'm telling you like it is. This is the way it is. Those men that are doing those things, beloved friend, are going to die and go to hell. I don't care how much money they've got, how much prestige they've got, how religious they are, what church they belong to, whether they come out of seminary or whatever. They're all going to die and go to hell. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. All right, I want you to stand with me. Why is it that the yoke is not broken? Because there's no truth in the land. And the Bible teaches that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For the truth, which is the spirit of the anointing, shall break the yoke. I love you and I appreciate you. Think it over. When you look in the mirror, look at your worst enemy, self. That old Egyptian image. That old beast image that's staring back at you, that's caused you your trouble down through the years, that you tried to blame on everybody else. Look at that great enemy, self. And set out to kill him and destroy him and to mortify the deeds of the body and to cast down every imagination and every thought until you think holy and pure and godly. And if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. The world doesn't love me. I'm not trying to solicit help from the world. I'm not trying to entertain the world. I'm not looking to the world. I'm looking to Jesus. I took my stand years ago and I broke off with the world. The trouble with evangelists today is they try not to say certain things because they say, he's going to tell somebody, she's going to tell somebody, they're going to think something, and they won't fellowship us, and they won't help us, and they won't come to our church. But brethren, I put all that behind me years ago. I haven't solicited, I haven't asked them to come to the church. I don't want them to come to the church. I want to preach the gospel and tell them that they're either going to heaven or to hell. God didn't tell me to build a church and try to get them to come to church. He told me to preach the gospel to every creature without compromise and tell them that they were either going to heaven or hell according to what they do. He said, I will add unto the church daily such as should be saved. I'll take care of that. But when we go out soliciting, we go out from house to house and we go out with our programs according to the way that our mind has been programmed and we try to get this woman to come and that man to come, and after a while we got a bunch of reprobates, we got a church full of reprobates,
And we've got a mess in the church, and the Holy Spirit can't do nothing for nobody. The Bible said Peter preached the gospel and said, with wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory. You're going to pay for it in the day of the judgment. And the Bible said 3,000 people was added to the church. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus. It wasn't 3,000 of this kind and that kind and another kind in this denomination and this kind of preaching and that kind of teaching. All were in one mind and one accord. The Bible said they all continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and they all spoke the same thing. I love you, I tell you the truth. Paul said, because I tell you the truth, I become your enemy. I love you, I tell you the truth, you hate me because I tell you the truth. Nevertheless, I testify of the world because it's evil, Jesus said. Their works are evil, and I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Let's sing a little chorus together. Jesus said, Father, I pray for these that you have given me. Not any of them have I lost, saving the son of perdition. All that you've given me, I'll raise them up in the last day. He said, I don't pray for the world. Somebody says, God loves the world and God loves the wicked. God hates the wicked. He said, it's not my will that the wicked should perish. I don't have any pleasure in it. It's not my desire, that is. I don't have any pleasure in it. But it's my will that they should perish in the sense that they do evil and they won't repent of their sins. Now, I am angry with the wicked every day. God hates the wicked. He said, I'll pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. Jesus said, Father, I don't pray for the world. I pray for these that you have given me. There's no need to pray for the world. Somebody said, we've got to pray for the world. There ain't no need to pray for the world. Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for these that you have given me. What you need to do is pray God's will be done. That's what you need to do. And you need to ask God to seek and to save that which is lost. And you go out and seek and save that which is lost. You know, those that are lost, the preordained of God. And Paul preached and said, everyone that was foreordained unto life believed, and the rest of them did not believe. But the predestinated and the foreordained, they believed because they were ordained unto God to life. They were the lost. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, well, Brother Pike, the other is lost. Oh, no. They never were his to be lost. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. They never were his to be lost. The Bible said these are ungodly men who were before of old ordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Denying the only Lord God from heaven. He said, these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. When he made them so they could be taken and burned. But Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Can we sing this little chorus together? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at Jesus' feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You know, the wicked, the Bible said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts and the wicked forsake his ways. The wicked, they have a consolation. The blood is still on the seat of atonement. They can make God their God in the sense of this time period and this little episode of grace. And they can find a consolation in that grace is continued as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement. And they can feel religious and be comfortable. But brother and sister, when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, only they that dwell in heaven can rejoice. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, or they that are in the flesh. For Lucifer will be turned loose among them to become their chief captain and their governor, and to become their king and their ruler. Woe unto them. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knoweth that. Right now, you're blessed. They're blessed. You can eat and drink. They can eat and drink. You can rejoice. They can rejoice. But after a while, they won't be able to rejoice. Yours is an eternal joy that will never end. But after a while, when the blood is off of the seat of atonement, then they won't rejoice anymore. What a sad, lonely day. Ere that silver cord is loose, Solomon said, the cistern be broken at the well, then that long, lonely day of mourning will come. And it's coming. But ye who love Jesus can rejoice forevermore. Can we sing that again? Let's sing it like this. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know, saying this in closing, it was day before yesterday, I believe, Brother Smith had picked up a picture I'd never seen before. He picked it up out of the picture box, and it was a picture of Betty and myself out here in the field when we sowed this field. Somebody had taken it, and while he was working with it, he was going to use it in the middle of a postcard, and I looked at it and I thought, well, if they're going to use it, it looks like it's tilted a little, I'll straighten it up. And the Lord kept drawing my attention to it, and I thought, well, why? And he kept drawing my attention to my feet. You know, the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. That is, it has to do with the soul. They publish peace. I thought, well, I wonder why I'm so concerned about my feet. My feet isn't going to be in that picture. And they got pictures of me with everything, including part of my head cut off. It never has disturbed me like that, but that bothered me. I thought, well, you know, my feet ought to be in the picture. So then I picked it up. When I did, I saw that my feet were so close to the bottom, there was no way to get my feet in the picture, because I was going to use a little old thing around the picture like this to blank out everything except the immediate images. And I thought, well, I don't know how to do that. I was going to dismiss it from my mind, and I couldn't. It bothered me. It bothered me today. It bothered me tomorrow. It went on for 2 or 3 days. So finally, I got over there, and I picked up this picture, and I put this Arizona desert behind it, and I thought, well, I'll supplement, you know. Maybe I can find some soil that's relative to the soil out here, you know, in a picture. Well, it worked all right, but there wasn't enough of it. Too many cactus around, so I had to withdraw from that. And I eventually came up with I remember picking up one that Fred and him, whether it was taking the flag out, that was on our own soil here, had a ladder that was taken out there to take the flag down or whatever. Then I eventually came around to a little picture that come from Israel. And I slipped the picture up under there. And when I did it, the place where I needed to supplement it made it look like a little branch, stream, or creek or something running down this way. And it corresponded somewhat, the bottom that is, with the top, whereas the top was trees. That in between was plowed ground. And when I put it in there, I wasn't thinking. It didn't even dawn on me until I stuck it in there. And all of a sudden, I realized that I had my feet. I thought, now there's the feet. They look like I'm standing by a little stream. And then I heard something say, "And he shall set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And in that day he shall set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and they shall cleave in half," you know. And when he said that, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I said, "Wait a minute, that little picture." And I pulled it back out and looked, and sure enough, it was the Mount of Olives where Betty and I have stood. My feet have stood upon that Mount of Olives. And there it was, my feet. He had called my attention to my feet, and my feet were standing directly upon the Mount of Olives. And I had told the brethren when we went to Jerusalem, and there when we stood upon the Mount of Olives, I told them then that that had to do with the coming of the Lord. Now, Christ returning to the church, I took that thing around, I began to look at it, and on the back it had the church of all nations. And I thought, Lord, that's what it is. Little Bethlehem. Don going back to the Indian reservation, six nations, this making the seventh. In that this is a little nation, the head of the nations, the Jews, the church of all nations. The church of all nations. God has given us the truth, and there's no truth in the land. He's given us the truth. Jesus said, "My words are truth." So then I looked at it, and then I heard something again say to me. It said, "Son, the picture was taken on the Jewish property." And then I remembered that this particular picture was taken on the property that we purchased from the Jews that we said it had to do with Canaan. And there we were sowing our first harvest, getting over the Jordan, that little stream. It appeared to be the little stream in front of us. And there it was. On the Jewish property. And I thought, you know, right now, we're just getting ready to try to build that building out there, the promenade building. And I thought, right at this particular time, the Lord lets this thing happen or lets this thing occur. And I thought, now this is strange. Being concerned about the feet, the church of the nations, the songs of the Lamb just now coming out, supposed to be out Monday or Tuesday, in spite of all the problems, like we've got it coming out now. And right at this particular time, the High Point Enterprise, seemingly predestinated to come this way, that big chair as we spoke of being at Thomasville, having to do with that throne like where me and Jerry went that day. And I thought about it. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, descending out of heaven, like the promenade building set down on that Jewish millennium. At the end, you know, here, this has to do with an end of a thing here. And the bringing in of that great, wonderful celestial of God. And I thought, Lord, this is so fantastic. The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise, and that which is naught to bring to nothing that which seems to be something. and numbers of other things that we won't try to detail this morning. Numbers of other things all of a sudden begin to come concerning the properties and what we're doing. And I thought, this is so unbelievable. And yet it's happening. It's really happening. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I have rejected thee. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, my people perish because they rejected my knowledge. I want you to stand with me. I'd like to say a lot of things this morning, but I can tell that you are uncomfortable in that the heaters has been off for a good little bit and it's cool. It's hard for us to bear the cross, even a little old nothing. Any inconvenience of Lucifer, he's in that flesh, and any inconveniences of Lucifer, he'll make you uncomfortable. Long as you eat and drink, and as long as you are comfortable and everything's convenient and you ride and you get gain, Lucifer will never make you uncomfortable. But to do something for God, he gets uncomfortable because he knows that God's word will cast the devil out. And either you have to go out and leave the word of God, or the devil has to go out with you as you take him out. He buddies with you. Let's just lift our hands up. Many of you have rejected knowledge. I marvel. I talk to some of you sometimes. And I know that you've been here for a number of years. And I think, Lord, they still don't know. Jesus said, have ye yet your heart hardened that you don't understand? And I think, Lord, they have been so fleshly and so interested in the fleshly things until they still don't know. They still don't have this godly knowledge and this understanding. And God said, because you've rejected knowledge, I have rejected you. Though you be ever so religious, Eve, you wouldn't have the knowledge of God when I said, thou shalt not. You went your own way. While you've got your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Larry Allen, if he will, to come up and pray the closing prayer. While you're standing here for just a moment, I want you to ask yourself this question. Just say, God, have I really learned anything? Have I applied myself? Have I sat through these services year after year with my mind on eating and drinking and relatives and going and getting out of church and uncomfortable and wanting to be turned loose and everything else? Gossiping, backbiting, fault finding, evil surmising, division. Or have I given my spirit, which is my mind, to holiness and godliness and virtue, pureness and the wonderful, wonderful, lovable things of the God of heaven? Have I really grown in the grace and knowledge of my Lord? Let me tell you something, folks. Love Jesus. Go on with Jesus. Go with Jesus day after day. You men, go with Jesus. Follow Jesus. If your companions won't go with you, go with Jesus anyway. And you women, go with Jesus. Honor your husbands. Be reverent and respectful. But if they won't go with Jesus, you go with Jesus anyway. If they want to leave you, let them leave you. You go with Jesus. Your soul is worth more than a husband. You'll satisfy your passions for a little while. And then after that, you'll cry, my God, my soul is going to hell. It's worth more to me. Jesus said life is worth more than the food that you put in your belly to try to sustain it. And he said your body is worth more than the raiment that you put upon it and that you use your body up to obtain it. Your body's worth more than that raiment that you try to obtain by using your body up. Consider your soul and your body for Christ's sake. Glorify God in your body. Don't let sin reign or rule in your mortal being. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness, as unto God them that are alive from the dead, and leave sin behind you. Mortify the deeds of the body. Love the Lord. Stand with the Lord always. As Brother Larry comes to pray with you, I want him to pray for your body. I want you to believe. Pray with him and believe. Let him pray for your body. Let him pray for your life. Let him pray for your blessings. Be careful when you're out riding around and going. Don't take it for granted God's going to keep you. You watch, and then you pray, and then God will keep you. But being careless and not watching, God can't keep you, or he'd be partakers of your lethargy and your unconcern. Do your best, and Jesus will keep you. Likewise, do your best to stay out of evil and corruption, and Jesus will keep you. His strength will be sufficient.